grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some key words that I'd like to draw to your attention in verses 19 to 23, and they are this: fear, peace, glad. All right? So the disciples were gathered together on Easter evening, not worshiping the risen Christ, but they were huddled together and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. They were afraid that now that they had done away with Jesus, the authorities would come after them and arrest them, and so they were hiding in fear behind closed doors. But Jesus came and stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. In other words, he showed them the scars, the marks, the print of the nails and the spears to show them that it was really him. He wasn't a spirit. He wasn't a hallucination. He wasn't some kind of supernatural entity. It was the truly bodily, physically risen and glorified Jesus Christ. The same Jesus who lived among them, who suffered, who died on the cross and was buried, the same Jesus is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. He comes into their midst, not as though he was not present with them before, but he manifested himself in their midst in order to minister to them so that they would go from fear to faith and from failure to mission. All right, now look at that. He said again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Notice how he gave them the Holy Ghost by breathing upon them. All right, breath takes place when you speak the word, and the word of the Lord is spirit and life. And therefore Jesus, just like in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, where the Son of Man prophesies to the winds and says, "O breath, come into these dead," and they did, and it did, and they came to life and stood up as a great mighty host. Well, here Jesus breathes on his disciples and says, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And then he tells them the authority that he gives to his holy Christian church on earth. He says, "Whoever sins you remit or forgive, they are remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." And so they are to go into all the world and preach the good news of the forgiveness of sins and the attendant life and salvation that comes wherever there is the forgiveness of sins. Now, one of the things that we sometimes have to deal with is that, well, it was easy for the disciples, we think foolishly, all right? Because they saw Jesus physically risen from the dead. But we have not seen Jesus physically risen from the dead. All right? Now, I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but I just want you to be aware, all right, that one of the things that we struggle with is how do we maintain faith in the Lord when we have not seen him the way the disciples have seen him, all right? Let's hang that over here for a minute. All right, now, Thomas was not with them. Thomas here is a wonderful example of how you cheat yourself when you absent yourself from the ministry of the Word of God. How many times hasn't there been a particularly blessed service that many people have missed by absenting themselves needlessly? Thomas was not there when Jesus appeared to the disciples. So when he finally showed up, they said, "We have seen the Lord." And he poured cold water on their happiness as hard as he could. He says, "Nah, nah, 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 nah. Listen. Unless I see the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." I love you guys. We are closer than friends. But listen. I'm not going to believe a word you say about seeing the Lord until I see for myself. And I really want to see big time. All right? So he is obstinate in his refusal to believe the word of the disciples. Just as the disciples, if you remember last week's reading, the disciples, when Mary Magdalene and the women came from the tomb and said they had seen angels who said that Jesus was risen from the dead, it says their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Well, so the disciples did not believe the women when the women spoke the word of God to them. And now the disciples have spoken the word of God to Thomas, and he has not believed. But Jesus is not done yet. It says, after 8 days, in other words, the next Sunday, all right, his disciples were within. They were still behind closed doors, and Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." All right, so he does the same thing. He comes graciously among them, and then he immediately turns to Thomas, and he virtually repeats Thomas's words verbatim. He said, "Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." So here's the thing I wanted to say about the presence of Jesus. He was even present with the disciples when his presence was not visibly manifested. So when they had told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord," and Thomas responded, "No, no, 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 no," Jesus was there, present among them. Just like, what does his word say? "Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Jesus is present among us as we gather to hear his word and to receive the sacrament of the altar. He is ever present with us, and He ministers to us by means of the word and sacraments, just as He ministered to these disciples, so that we go from fear to gladness, that we know the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that we are gladdened by the fact that though we have failed many times in our lives of discipleship, Jesus is not done with us, and He will not forsake us. He will continue to be with us, to forgive us, to strengthen us, to bless us, so that we can continue to support and move forward the ministry of the word of the forgiveness of sins for all people. And so the Lord is graciously present, just as He was graciously present, though not visible, when the disciples said to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord," and he said, "No, unless I stick my fingers into His wounds, I will not believe." Jesus was not visible to them, but He was present. And so it is. When we say Jesus is present, we don't mean in some kind of metaphorical religiosity kind of way. We mean that He is really present. The eternal Son of God, who is seated at the right hand of God, is really present. Not just part of Him, not just the idea of Him, but He is really present, and He ministers to our souls by means of His word and by means of His holy sacraments. What a blessed privilege it is to gather together around the Word of God. So Jesus presents Thomas with His hands and with His side and says, "Go ahead, Thomas." Now, the Bible doesn't say that Thomas started poking around. The Bible just simply said that Thomas looked and said, "My Lord and my God." Thomas here is filled with faith. He is confronted with the living, risen, real, flesh and bone Jesus. And he confesses, "You are my Lord and you are my God." And thus he echoes the first verse of the Gospel of John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made." Right? "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen it." You see, that's how John begins his gospel. And here, on Easter Sunday evening, Thomas, the doubter, he sees the risen Christ, and he says, "You are my Lord and my God." And then Jesus has a word to Thomas that is an encouragement to our hearts. He says, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed." Now, it's important for you to understand. Thomas was one of the apostles. He was one of the chosen eyewitnesses to give to the world the eyewitness testimony of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So it was necessary for him to have seen Jesus risen from the dead. So Thomas says to him, Jesus says to Thomas, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, and that would be you and me. We have not seen Jesus, right? Except with the eyes of faith by means of the word. But we have not physically seen Jesus risen from the dead. But Jesus calls us blessed, right? Because though we do not see, yet we have believed. Well, how in the world can we believe in something that we have not seen? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is the word of God preached, read, meditated upon, that is the vehicle, the tool, the instrument or means by which the Holy Ghost comes to us and he kindles faith in our hearts. Faith does not come from rationalistic arguments. Faith comes from the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus says, when you guys go out into the world and you preach, you're going to preach inviting people to believe in something that they have not seen and cannot prove, right? You're going to invite them to believe in a Savior who died to pay for their sins and rose again on the third day victorious over sin, death, and the devil for our sake. And people are going to believe it. And they are going to be blessed in that faith. And they will have everlasting life. Sometimes as a pastor, when you preach, you wonder, you know, how can I really make this come alive so that people will really get the idea that faith does not come by being argued into the kingdom of God with all kinds of supposed proofs, though that can be helpful in some ways. Faith comes when the Holy Ghost, through the gospel, kindles and strengthens and nurtures faith in the hearts of those who hear. And that's why it's so important that we gather, that we hear the holy word of the Lord, because our Lord works by means of his word and by means of the sacraments to bring us to the faith that is unto everlasting life. And so John closes the chapter by saying, Jesus did many other miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You see, he says, I didn't write everything that Jesus did, but what I did write, I wrote that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in this faith, you would have everlasting life. And this is why we gather together in the name of Jesus around his holy word, and we ever hunger for the word of the gospel, because it is through the gospel that Jesus manifests himself among us for the strengthening of our faith and for the giving of his grace. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.